wonderful job, wonderful job. King's Kids Track Club Flyers class can be dismissed at this time. You can tell Jasper's my son. Nice and loud. You laughed a little too hard there, Miss Rebecca. Tonight we will be in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I don't know if you should think this is a good or a bad thing, what I'm drinking while I'm preaching tonight. Hey, Josh, can you shut both those back doors? Somebody left the very back door wide open. Sorry, man. That's going to distract me seeing the back door open the whole time. So this may knock me out early, or this may have me preach till midnight. I guess we'll see. But I'm excited to dig into the Word with you tonight. I told the men last night, Brother Chris, he did the lesson and did a tremendous job. What a challenge that was to myself, and I believe all the men. Just a great time of fellowship, sweet spirit, just testimonies, loving on the Lord. Last night was a good night to be here. And even if Josh was here, we praise the Lord that it was a good night to be in the Lord's house. But I referenced this last night just in regards to what Chris said. This passage, specifically verse number 6, has been on my heart and been on my mind a whole lot here lately. Just a challenge to me, and I hope it will be to you as well. My goal is to be fairly brief, and that way us men and the ladies can get together and pray. We'll do prayer time that way tonight before we be dismissed. But Hebrews chapter number 11, as you know, as we come to this text here before us, Hebrews 11 is the what? Hall of Faith. Instead of the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. All the people throughout the ages of time, throughout the Word of God, that had a good report because of their faith. And one encouraging thing, as you go through Hebrews 11, if you read the whole Bible, now, if all you read was Hebrews 11, you'd think these people are top-notch. They have never done anything wrong. They've never sinned. They've never made God mad. They've been perfect. But as we know, you read the Old Testament, we know that's not true. These were just people that struggled, that made mistakes, but they had faith. And that is what we'll learn tonight, is what pleases God. See, that, and that's the question that maybe a lot of people ask themselves, and we need to be reminded of. How to please God. How to please God. And some people may have a distorted view of that and think, well, to please God, we've got to win 250,000 souls, or we've got to call down fire from heaven, or we've got to be somebody who's in prominence, who's in the spotlight, whose name's in lights to please our Lord. But we're going to see tonight that's so far from the truth. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated or transported or taken to another place, as we know it was heaven, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd add a blessing to the reading and the preaching of your word. Please anoint my lips to rightly divide what your word has to say to us. Help me to do it quickly so that we can spend time in prayer, calling upon your name. Speak to us now from your word, we pray. Keep all the children safe. I pray you bless their time, that you pray they have a good time, and that you would just bless this evening all around. Please be with Pastor Daniel as he's out going to a church in Meadowview. Bless that interaction. Bless that opportunity. If it doesn't result in him speaking, preaching, presenting tonight, I pray it would. And I pray it would result in the support of your people toward ORH and Pastor Daniel, and also some people from whatever church he's going to. In support in regards to going with him. Just bless that, we pray. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So hopping right into the text tonight, the three things I want to look at. Now, I've got a more in-depth outline on my screen before me here, but I've only got 3 points on your screen you'll see tonight. But the first thing we see in verse number 6 is we see the precept, the truth. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, a few things about this precept. First, we see our ambition, or what it should be as children of God. Now, before we get into this, we know that salvation is by grace through faith. Someone cannot be saved, have a relationship with God, or as you may hear me reference a lot tonight, begin a walk with God, because we see that's what Enoch did. That walk has to start, and it starts by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so tonight, my goal is I'm speaking to children of God and how we can please God and grow, as we're going to see, in our faith, because that's how we do it. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But that, what's our ambition? Our ambition as a child of God should be to please God. And I hope that's your heart's desire. Hope it isn't to please me or to please Pastor Daniel or to please your family or to please your friends or to please somebody on planet Earth. I love one thing, Hendon Hooker, the quarterback of the Tennessee Vols. And I'm sorry that you all hear so many Tennessee Vols references this year. I'm so sorry. But I will say that this young man's a godly young man, and they asked him if he felt the pressure when he went onto the field, if he was nervous and he was afraid. He said, to be honest with you, no. He said, because when I go on the field, I'm going on the field for an audience of one, and that's God. And that should be our desire. And all that we do, it should be to be pleasing to God, be that here at the church, be that in our individual homes, be that at our place of employment, be that wherever we may be at the gas station on Saturday afternoon. It should be to please God. And so that is our ambition. But how do we attain that? Our attainment of that, it says in our text, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do we obtain the pleasing? How do we please God? Our faith. You heard me say Sunday, and you've heard me say so many times. I love the quote. Now you probably hear me say it many more times. But Brother John Van Gildren said, faith is the currency in God's economy. Not our works, but our faith. Faith is how we please God. And if we don't have faith, it is impossible. We cannot. No matter how hard we work, no matter how much we do, if we do not trust God, we cannot please Him. See, and we've got to have faith, but it gives us kind of an explanation of what our faith should be in, what we should be trusting. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, two things, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, we must believe that He is. That literally means that He exists. That He, and not only that God exists, because millions and millions of people today believe that there is a God. But we need to believe that He is the God. Not a God, the God. Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say I'm a good way, or Brother Stephen always said, or he didn't even say he was the best way, but he's the only way. See, that's where it all starts. You got to believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is the one and only true God. Any other God reference that's not Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is an idol. And we know there's no other gods, but so many people all over the world worship many other little g gods. Doesn't mean there are other gods. It just means they claim that there are. But if we're going to please God, and then when you got saved, you did this, you believe that He is God, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose again, He was buried, and that He rose again 3 days later. So you got to believe in His, you got to have faith in His reality. What I mean by that is His existence, and that He is not a God, but the God, the one true God, and but also faith in His rewarding. We see it in our text. It says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder," or that means recompenser. That means that's kind of like an employer paying an employee something they are owed. So he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What that basically means is we need to believe that it's worth serving God. We need to believe that there is a reward for serving God. I'm not saying that we serve God for a reward. I'm not saying that you come to church and you read your Bible and you pray and you soul win because you're expecting a reward from God. But we believe that if we'll be faithful to God, that He will bless us. He'll take care of us. He'll meet our needs. His hand will be upon us. He'll bless what we do. And thank God there is a reward in heaven one day. We may not be rewarded this side of eternity. A lot of times we will be, but praise God, we're going to heaven. We will be rewarded for all eternity. So, and we'll dig more into that faith in His rewarding here in just a few moments. But we see the precept, our ambition should be to please God. We attain that through faith. Faith in His reality, faith in His rewarding. But now we see the plan. How do we, and when I say the plan to grow our faith. Faith is how we please God. So the natural thing would be to increase our faith. We need to be like that man said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief," right? That's how we need to be every day. "Yes, Lord, I believe. I have faith. Grow my faith. Help me to help my faith to be stronger, because if our faith grows, and faith is how we please God, then the more faith we have, the more pleasing we are to God," right? So if we see, here the plan. Look at verse number 5. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony." And what I mean testimony, his reputation around was that he pleased God. So how did Enoch please God? Go with me to Genesis 5. One preacher called Genesis chapter 5 the "and he died" chapter. Because 98% of Genesis chapter 5 says he lived, he was born, he lived this long, and he died. And he died. And he died. And he died. But one man, it doesn't say that about. And it's Enoch. And that's what we see in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And we're going to look at this for a moment. I turned past there. Genesis 5. Verses 21 through 24, we'll read it and then we'll come back and talk about it. Verse 21, "Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." So we see here that Enoch did not die the physical death. I know the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But Enoch here, that did not apply to him. He did not physically die. Now, I'm not going to dig deeply into it. I'm not going to hop on the soapbox. But a lot of people think that Enoch is one of the two witnesses, because they will be killed for all to see. And that will be the appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment for Enoch. Now, I don't espouse that belief, but my mom and dad do. So, I mean, neither here nor there. We're not going to be here to know it anyways. And when we get to that part in Revelation, we will talk about it and we will deal with it. But that is one belief in regards to Enoch, because he did not die. He was, like we saw, translated, transported. He just kind of left earth and went to heaven to be with God. What an exciting thing to do. Wouldn't that be awesome? And I'll talk more about that in just a moment. But as we think about the plan, we look at the life of Enoch, because we saw in our text, it says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death." So we know Enoch had faith. And then we see back in Genesis 5, his faith lived out. Remember, faith is taking God at his word and acting upon it. Enoch had faith. We see that in Genesis chapter 5. So we look at Enoch. Now, one thing I want to point out before we dig deeply into this is his point in time. Now, it doesn't say here, but as we know, you read through Genesis, we're getting really close to, as you see in chapter 6, the flood. Really, really close. What does that mean the world was like at that time? Terrible. Because some people may say, well, it must have been easier for Enoch to live a godly life because he didn't live in the world that we live in today. Hey, it was so bad that God literally destroyed it. Okay? So bad that God unleashed his fury on the earth. It was just as bad, if not worse, when Enoch was there. And that should encourage you and me. Because we see Enoch here in chapter 5. It talks about how he walked with God. In verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. If he can walk with God in the time that he lived in, we can walk with God now. If he can have faith in the time that he lived in, then we can have faith now. Okay? We have no excuse. People say, well, I just can't have faith in the world we live in right now. Too much bad going on. Turn on the news. Everything gets you sad. Everything gets you mad. Nothing good's going on. That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Because you're worrying and you're aggravated and you're not trusting. Because that's what faith is. Trusting God. Believing God to do what he said he would do. If Enoch can have faith then, we can have faith now. If he can walk with God then, we can walk with God now. So we see his point in time, but something gets me fired up, and this excites me for this Sunday at 2 p.m. But we see his pivotal moment. Enoch wasn't always a godly man. He wasn't born saved. You say, well, how was Enoch saved? Same way we are. By grace, through faith. We need to understand that. Wasn't a different standard back then. Old Testament people were saved looking to the cross. We're saved looking back at the cross, but everyone's saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay? By grace, through faith. But Enoch wasn't always a godly man. Now, we don't have much of his backstory, but we do know that something happened that changed his life. Look what it says. In Enoch, verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. So what was the pivotal moment in his life? Having a baby. Now, we can speculate as to what. I mean, I can attest to the fact, especially this time with Onyx, it's been a little different with him in regards to just the burning desire to know, hey, it's not just me spiritually that I have to take care of and worry about and be concerned for and pray for and live a godly life for, but I've got three babies and a wife that are depending on me, not just to put food on the table, but to be the spiritual shepherd of my home. I think that's what kind of happened to Enoch. Methuselah was born, and maybe Enoch wasn't living a godly life. I remember Brother Stephen Spencer, before he was a saved man, what opened his eyes to the fact, hey, dude, wake up, was him having his daughter. When his daughter Bailey was born, he said that's what woke him up to, hey, something needs to change. At that point, he began taking his family to church. He was a lost man. At that point, he began reading the Bible. And Brother Stephen Spencer, he'll tell you the story, and maybe he'll tell it Sunday. I don't know. But he began to read through the Bible because he knew that he had been brought up in church, and he wanted his daughter to be brought up in church, and he wanted her to be a good girl. I mean, he's a lost man thinking all these things, but he knew that something needed to change, and he got in the Word of God. And Brother Stephen said he began to read in Genesis and was reading to Revelation. And he said before he got to the end of the book, he got saved. And maybe that's what happened to Enoch. Methuselah was born. And he said, hey, it's time to wake up. He's living in a wicked world. And if I, the daddy, don't wake up and be the spiritual leader of my home and give my heart to the Lord, who's going to lead my family? Because that's a wicked world that they lived in. As we know, Methuselah's name means when he dies, it shall come. And almost the year Methuselah died, at the time Methuselah died, that's when the flood came. I mean, God, from the moment of Methuselah's birth, Enoch woke up and he began to walk with God. Every person in this room has got somebody we need to walk with God for. Now, they've got to make their own decisions. They've got to get saved. But it's our job, I think, to carry the torch and to follow God and to walk with God, to be that example or that encouragement or that leader to them. And that's what happened in Enoch's life. And we need to wake up to that fact that it's more than just us we're affecting when we're not walking with God. And when we are, it can affect more than just us. So we see that was the pivotal moment in Enoch's life. Methuselah was born. And then, it doesn't say it in our text, but we see here his purposing in his heart. How many people can sit here can say you walked with God for 365 years? Nobody. None of us are going to live even half that long. And some of you may feel like you've lived half that long. Miss Debbie, Deb may be feeling like she's been 450 years right now with her hand situation, but she's getting better. She's getting better. But I believe that at the moment that I believe that Enoch gave his heart to the Lord, that he purposed in his heart that he was going to follow God. You know how I believe he did that? It's because he did it. You don't accidentally follow God faithfully. You don't accidentally walk with God. Enoch made up his mind that I'm going to be the spiritual leader of my home, and I'm purposing in my heart that I'm going to be faithful to walk with God. And we see, as we see in our text here, and I talked about earlier, Enoch didn't do anything special. He didn't call down fire from heaven. He had a baby that had a very significant name that God used to say, hey, it's coming. But all Enoch did was walk with God. All Enoch did was have faith in God. And we see here, and he made the hall of faith because he walked with God faithfully. He purposed in his heart. So we see his point in time, his pivotal moment, his purposing in his heart, and his persistent pursuit. And we saw that. We see that in our text. It says, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And we see a beautiful picture in Enoch. It's a beautiful picture of the church. Enoch was not, for God took him. God got him out of here. Let that be encourage us as his children. We may be raptured out way before we die. And wouldn't that not be a good night to go to heaven? Now, there's many people that need to be saved, and if the Lord tarries, it's our duty to witness and win them to the Lord, or strive to win them to the Lord, but I wouldn't be mad if God took us to heaven right now neither. And that's a beautiful picture we see here. He was raptured out. That's what happened. He was taken from one place to another. He didn't die. But I will say, if he entered heaven, which he did, he was changed, because that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. But we see his persistent pursuit. He walked with God faithfully for 365 years. His persistent pursuit. And what is that? What does that really mean? I believe Enoch strove to know the Lord better every single day. That's what walking with God is. It's kind of like courting a boyfriend or courting a girlfriend. Walking with them is getting to know them better, learning to love them more, learning more about them. And go with me to Psalm chapter 1. I think we see a beautiful picture of this here in Psalm 1. Psalm chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. I love this scripture. And I think it paints a good picture of walking with God. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And you know, when you get in the Word, you're not just reading a book, but you're communicating and communing with the God of the universe. That's why I picked this scripture, because when you read your Bible, unless you just come to it not desiring to speak to or hear from God at all, this is how we communicate with God. He communicates with us through this. We communicate with him through prayer, and that's how we have a conversation. And it goes on to say, and he, verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So how do we strive to know God more? How do we grow our faith? How do we have a persistent walk, pursuit with God every single day as Enoch did? First, through communication. How did I get to know Carrie when we started dating? Was it, well, I said hey and she said hey and didn't talk again for 4 years. And I'm like, hey, you want to get married? She's like, yeah, sure. I mean, that's not... That's not how it happened. What it was is what it was is we just communicated. We talked a lot. Our parents at the time might have said too much. But, we just communicated. And how are we going to walk with God, learn more of God, grow our faith in God and His Word? Communicate with Him. Court the Lord. I've even said before, hey, I got a date with God and I don't want to miss it. I want to go home. I got time. I want to spend with my Lord. We got to communicate with Him through prayer. He with us through His Word. And when there's communication, as I began to talk to Carrie a little bit, I began to meditate on Carrie and think about Carrie. I mean, that's this natural response. You begin to like someone or love someone, you begin to think about them a lot more, maybe even constantly. Doug's shaking his head. He's lying. He's a liar. We'll get him to repent, Miss Debbie. Say to him what you say to me. The altar's right here, right? But communication leads to meditation. See, you communicate with God's Word and the Lord through prayer enough, it will begin to take control of your mind, and that's what you'll think about. Because we delight in what we think about. That's how you know you delight in something. That's what you think about all the time. I know my brother delights in golf because that's all he ever calls me about, seems like. You all know me, Josh, Chris, and several other people. All we delight right now is Tennessee. Not all we delight in, but what we delight in a lot right now is Tennessee football. No, I know that. It's because we talk about it. We talk about it. Why? Because we're thinking about it. Communicate with God. Then it will lead to meditation upon who He is, upon what He says. So communication will lead to meditation, which will, you think on God long enough, you think about Jesus long enough, it will lead to adoration. That's why so many Christians today don't love God like they should, because they don't think about Him very much. For a lot of husbands, they may say, well, I just don't love my wife as much as I used to. How much you think about her? And Doug's like, ooh, I'm in trouble. No, just kidding. He got a deer in a headlight look. Just kidding. But that's what happens right here. Communication with God leads to meditation upon God and His Word. Leads to adoration of God. And then the natural thing is, because we see here verse number 1 in Psalms, we see the delight in verse number 2, but then it leads to transformation. I took a liking to Carrie. It changed some things about me. I'm like, hey, maybe I need to brush my teeth. Hey, maybe I need to take a shower. Maybe I need to dress. I brushed my teeth and I took showers. I'm just joking. Maybe I need to change this or change that or don't do this or do that. You know what I'm saying? It changed the way I acted because I delighted in her. Same thing with God. It will change the way we act. Verse number 1, blessed is the man who doesn't do three things. That man doesn't do those things because that man delights in the Word, delights in God. Because that man communicated with God, meditated on God, began to adore God, and then was transformed by God and His Word. That's how we learn more of God and we walk with God as in it did, grow our faith in God. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. So we see that's the plan. Then we see number 3, and I'll be done, the product. What's the result of that? The result of that. Obviously, we learn more of God, it will result in faith in the Savior. You learn more about God, it will increase your faith in Him. And how do we please God? By faith. And as our faith grows, we please God more. That's what Enoch did. Because without faith, we see in our text, it's impossible to please Him. And we see faith in the Savior is a product. Faithfulness from the Savior, what a beautiful thing. I thank God when we have faith in our Savior, He'll never let us down. I may have faith in one of you, or you may have faith in one of me, and there's a good chance you'll let me down or I'll let you down, but God will never let us down. He'll always be faithful. He'll always do what He says He'll do. So if we have faith in Him, He'll be faithful to us. That'll grow our faith, and we'll be pleasing to Him. That's just the cycle that God wants to produce in us if we'll let Him. But not only that, faith in the Savior, faithfulness from the Savior, and the fruitfulness of the saint. Remember our text. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what's been jumping off the page at me. That's what I have underlined in my Bible. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not half-heartedly, not every once in a while, diligently. Question I've been asking myself, and we all need to ask ourselves, is can my seeking of God be described as diligent? If we're honest with ourselves, it could be better, even if it does. And if we do that, there will be rewards. He will reward us. That rewarder means the compensator, the recompenser, the payment for the work done. God will not, if we pursue God, He will bless us for it. It may not be monetarily, it definitely will be spiritually. It definitely will be with His hand on us, His touch on us, His power on us. And we see that back in Psalm chapter number 1 again, same text we were in. Verse number 3, it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." This is a man or a woman who has delighted in the Lord, delighted in His Word, walked with Him spiritually day in and day out. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." A few things we see here. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We live in a rough world. Sometimes there's a dry spell. Sometimes we have a hard time. But when we are walking with God, we're near, well, I guess you could say near the spot where the glory comes out. We're well rooted. So storms may come and troubles may come around us, but we're rooted deeply in the Lord because we walked with Him. And look at the effects of that. It says, "that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." Doesn't say that he will bring forth fruit always, but he will bring forth fruit. If we walk with God, there will be fruit from it. Maybe it'll be this side of heaven, but I guarantee you, there will be fruit when we get to heaven. We will bring forth fruit in our season if we walk with God, because that's the natural response of a tree that is deeply rooted, getting the sustenance that it needs. It produces the fruit it was created to produce. That's the natural response. "That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither." And hey, when things get hard, when things get hot, when things get tough, many believers and Christians may fold flat and wilt away because they're not walking with God, not rooted in Him and in His Word. But if we'll walk with God, we'll be deeply rooted and our leaf won't wither because we are connected to where the sustenance comes from. And as you know, the past few years, that's exactly how it's felt, hadn't it? One sickness after another, one political debacle after another, I mean, one thing after another, and our leaf will fade and will wither unless we walk with God and we have faith in God. Not doing anything spectacular, but just walking with God every day. Our leaf won't wither. Even during tough times, hey, we can thrive. And we talked about that last week, thriving even in the midst of it. That's what God wants. "For his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I want God's hand on my family. I want God's hand on this church. We got to walk with God. And as we walk with God, it grows our faith. And faith is how we please God. So the more we walk with God, the more pleasing we become to God. And the more God will bless us because he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Faith is how we please God. Let's grow our faith every day so we can please him more. Just an endless cycle. And as he's faithful, our faith grows. And I praise the Lord for that. That is how we please God. So that's all I've got tonight. So what we'll do now, so we have plenty of time for this, is we'll let the ladies get together over here, since that's where all the ladies already are.